This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf, your host, as always. And today we're going to have on the show a new guest, Jen Olson, and she loves big mutts. Yes, she does. We're going to talk all about that. So welcome to the show, Jen. What do you mean you love big mutts? What's that all about?
Well, I love big dogs. I have five big dogs and one small one. I just love their energy, their presence. Well, I love all dogs. I shouldn't say I just love large dogs. I love small dogs, too. I've had many small dogs, and I just adore them all. I love all dogs, but I don't know why I picked that email. I have no idea. Oh, I know why. Because it's the Loves Big Butts, right?
Loves Big Mutts. Oh, yeah. It rhymes with the right song. Oh, very nice. Okay, yeah. So you have a dog rescue, Loved at Last Rescue. Loved at Last Dog Rescue. What is that about? What are you doing there?
We rescue dogs locally, of course, but largely from overseas. And the reason we rescue from overseas is because there are very few homeless dogs here in BC, which is wonderful. And the few that there are taken in by the SPCA, so we have no access to them. So in order to help dogs find homes for stray dogs, we had to go overseas. But in fact, we didn't go overseas. Overseas rescues came to us. We started out as just rescuing. I started out with a rescue called a Better Life Dog Rescue. And that was just local dogs. And when I decided I wanted to help overseas dogs as well, and my rescue partners didn't want to, I branched off and started Loved at Last Dog Rescue. So we find homes for dogs from Korea, China, Iran, other countries, but those are the main three, as well as California. There's a big homeless dog problem in California, and just recently from the Northwest Territories of all places. So that's where we get our dogs from. So what happens is we post them on our website, we find them a home, and once we find them a home, the overseas rescue finds a passenger to bring them as excess luggage, because that's the cheapest way to get them here, and then they go home.
So okay, there's so much to unpack there. China, Korea, Iran, and Northwest Territories. I've done shows before on Iran and the Golden Retrievers, which is so surprising to me.
Yes.
Is that what you're getting from there?
No, actually, typically we get mutts.
Mutts. Yeah. Medium-sized, short-haired mutts? Is that kind of, because that's what you see in the Middle East most.
Yeah, well, we get everything. We get large, small, medium, everything from all countries, because I would say that mostly, actually, we get large dogs from Iran, because when people are going to give up a dog, they typically will give up a large dog as opposed to a small dog. You know, small dogs people will keep for the rest of their lives, but large dogs, I don't know, somehow people just seem they're disposable at some point in their life.
Okay, so California, though, I mean, it used to be the dogs coming out of there were little. They were chihuahuas. Is that not the case anymore?
In California, the dogs are still largely small dogs, yeah. They seem to just have mostly small dogs down there for some reason. But we get large dogs, too. We get large dogs from everywhere.
What's the case in China and Korea? What's going on there that dogs need to be sent from there to here?
And you know what? It's meat market. Dogs are rescued from people who rescue them right out of the meat market, who they're being sold for to be killed for meat. That's one large way we get dogs out of China and Korea. But also it's just stray dogs on the street that rescuers find and put them in a shelter there. And then once we find a home for them, they are flown here.
Okay, and just before we go to break, I want to ask you, because we covered the other areas, what's going on with the Northwest Territories?
Yeah, this just started just a few days ago, actually. They seem to have a large stray dog population that I guess they've always had it, obviously, but they just connected with us. And the problem there is that nobody is spaying and neutering their dogs. So dogs are having puppies that are not wanted and left to fend for themselves. And so all the dogs we're getting from the Northwest Territories are unfixed, because they say they cannot fix them there because there are not enough vets in the Northwest Territories to do it.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
Isn't it? But just vets don't move to the Northwest Territories, I suppose. So there's just very few vets there. So there's no way to get these dogs spayed and neutered. We don't normally take in dogs who are unfixed, but we're going to have to do that for the Northwest Territories. We'll fix them right away, of course.
Stay tuned. We'll be back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! You're listening to Animal Party Pet Life Radio with me and Jan Olson. And she is talking about Loved at Last Dog Rescue. And what they're doing is taking dogs from other parts of the world, mostly China, Korea, Iran, Northwest Territories, and California. Shame on you, USA. Shame on you, Canada. Mm-hmm. Why are there first world dogs in this group from Canada and America? What's going on there?
It's a spay and neuter problem. And you know what? It's not just California. We have the problem in Quebec as well. Quebec is terrible at having a homeless dog population, just terrible. And again, the reason is that people don't spay and neuter their dogs. Sometimes it's a cultural thing. A lot of men who have dogs don't want to take the balls off their dogs.
Oh my goodness. You know, I did a show years ago on these things called nudicles. Do you remember nudicles? They're these artificial testicles that men could buy to put on their dogs so their neutered dog would look like he still
exactly
was packing. Yeah. It's so ridiculous. Like it wouldn't fool a dog in at all, because by smell, I mean, they smell like titanium steel, you know. Yeah, exactly. No dog's gonna fall for that. In fact, a dog wearing those gets swarmed by curious dogs who don't know what
it's
hanging
ridiculous
on the end of him. I mean, you hear about people who their ego rests on their car. Don't let your ego rest on your dog's genitals. That's a bit ridiculous.
Exactly.
Okay. And you know, I'm just thinking of this. When you talk about population in spay and neuter, just yesterday, there's this big story and it's about cats. And I've always said, you know, one plus one cat, one unneutered boy cat and one unspayed girl cat. 5 years later, it's 11,000 cats.
Exactly.
And this guy in Houston, BC, has called the SPCA to say, please help me. I have 298 cats. And between making the call and actually having them arrive, two pregnant cats had litters overnight. So now he has even more. He talks about how during the pandemic, people were dropping cats off left, right, and center at his door. It started with two pregnant cats that he took in, and then he became known for this. And so 12 of the cats that were dropped off at his door had kittens, and then two more litters, then five more litters. And he just couldn't keep up. He was spending $3,000 a month on food and 28 kilograms a day and 10 litter boxes to clean every day. And the poor guy finally just said, help me, help me. And they are helping him.
Thank goodness. They
haven't had an apprehension of that magnitude since the 90s. But that's what we're talking about. One boy dog can get around a lot and make an awful lot of puppies. One girl cat can come into heat three times in a year, have 30 kittens potentially. You know, you got to spay and neuter, right? You just got to.
And exactly. And it's odd that we're talking about this. We have just recently been asked to take in two large dogs, both of whom are from owners who never got their dog fixed. And the reason they're giving up their dog is because the dog has aggression problems. The reason they have aggression problems is because they're unfixed. It's just insanity.
An unneutered male dog is so much more likely to bite people than any other dogs.
Yep.
Any
absolutely
other dog. Like, it's just given. You know, you want it safe with your kids. What are you doing? If you don't give it a sexual outlet, if it's not a breeding dog and a breeding program with a couple of wives, then it's going to be frustrated its entire life. Spend every waking moment thinking about escape and honeymoons.
That's right.
Right? And what do you need that for? You're going to have car accidents and fights, and every dog wants to roll it, beat it up, get some status, kick it out of its neighborhood. And then not to mention the peeing on everything. Oh my goodness. So like, your dog will be so much better if you neuter and spay it.
I remember when I used to go to a dog park in White Rock, there was one guy who would come with an unneutered dog. And wouldn't you know, it was a nice dog, but every single time he came, the dog got into a fight with other dogs, and it wasn't necessarily his dog that was always starting it. It's just that the other dogs were unnerved by his being not neutered.
Yeah.
So we finally had to ask the guy, look, you can't come here anymore unless you neuter your dog. And he wouldn't, because he couldn't stand the thought of removing his dog's balls. Just silliness like that. But fortunately, we see less and less of that now. People are having come to their senses. I mean, the fact that most people spay and neuter their dogs in Canada, at least in BC anyway, probably not Quebec so much, is why we have very few stray dogs. There is a connection between the two, between unfixed dogs and a stray dog population. There's a direct correlation.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, we're going to go to another break and come back and talk about how you figure out who gets what dog. Like, what's your adoption process? And also, I'd love to tell people how they can donate or how they can get a dog from you. Maybe there's fostering possible.
Yes.
So stay tuned, everybody, on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio with Jan Olson. Love at last, dog rescue. Stay tuned.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party. That makes you laugh every time. Pet Life Radio. You know, I've been doing that since I first started on radio.
And I love it.
There was a brief time where Seinfeld, on a couple of episodes, did the same voice. And he was doing it, and I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to lose my hello. But then he dropped it, and it's okay.
Yes,
still mine, Seinfeld. Still mine.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Okay, so we're back with Jan Olson, and we're talking about adopting dogs from faraway places, but sometimes not so far away, like California, Northwest Territories, Korea, Iran, China. One thing I worry about, because I've seen some of the Mexican dogs adopted here.
Oh, Mexico,
sometimes,
yes.
Well, sometimes they come with parasites and issues that our vets don't normally see and are quite hard to treat. Skin problems, little weird intestinal things. Is that an issue with these foreign dogs?
It can be. We do require that they be treated for fleas and ticks before they arrive. But if they come with skin conditions or rashes or things like that, we just get it treated. It's not a big deal. It's easy to fix. And sometimes it can be transferable. But in those cases, we just tell the adopter, keep your dog away from other dogs until it's cleared up. So it's really not that big an issue. And it's actually very few dogs. And I do agree with you. We do rescue dogs from Mexico too. I forgot to mention that. And if we do get a dog that has more of a parasite problem, it'll be from Mexico. That is true. But we still rescue them because they need rescuing.
Okay, so when I hear that, I put a little note to myself. Next time I'm in Mexico, no kissing stray dogs on the face. Don't be doing that.
Not usually transferable to humans. There are very few transferable conditions between dogs and humans. Rabies is about the only one I can think of.
Okay. All right. So what do? You get these dogs, and I hope that the new adoptee isn't responsible for paying for vet care and such.
If they're an adopt, they're responsible for taking care of their dog. Absolutely. But when the dog arrives, the dog will have had a vet exam and have been spayed or neutered if they hadn't been already before they arrive. So they're healthy and they're fixed. And so once they're adopted, the adopter becomes responsible for vet care. We could not operate as a rescue if we were responsible for the vet care of every dog that we adopted out. That would be unfeasible. We make $150 from the adoption fee because the rest of it goes back to the rescuer who pays to get the dogs here. It doesn't actually keep us functioning. I usually have to donate money to support the rescue. But no, the adopter is the adopter, is the owner of the dog. So they're responsible for vet care after the dog is adopted. But they don't have to, the dog is healthy when it arrives, so they don't have to do that right away. But to be fair, a lot of our adopters do. They get a new dog and they want to get a vet exam to see, to make sure, check it out and make sure that they are okay.
When you say $150, it costs more than $50 for a set of vaccines, and these dogs are going to be vaccinated twice. Like, that's so...
No, they're not vaccinated twice.
Well, they will be if they're getting them already vaccinated, right?
Our adopters don't take their dogs in to get vaccinated.
No, I'm saying you have already done that. Like, if I buy a puppy, right?
Yeah.
If I buy a puppy from a breeder, I'm going to pay the puppy price, and then I'm still going to have to take it back one more time to the vet. And one more time to the vet to get all my vaccines completed. That's going to be more than 100. Yeah, that's going to be more than 100. I'm comparing your dog's affordability.
Can you forget about the $150? That's not relevant to what we're discussing right now. We adopt our dogs out for $800. The normal adoption fee is $800.
Okay.
And the rescuer from the foreign country gets $650 of that $800. We keep $150, and that has to keep us functioning. That $150 has to keep our rescue running. And you can imagine that that's pretty tough to do. But
oh, yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. And I'm glad you clarified that so people understand. There's a $800 fee, but it's more than reasonable. I mean, even the travel.
Oh, absolutely. The travel costs more. Everybody loses money on the adopted dogs. The rescuer overseas loses money. We lose money. But for everybody not to lose money, the adoption fee would have to be about $1,000. And it probably will get there eventually. But right now, $800 is the normal going price of a fairly young dog for most rescues, because that's the bare minimum we can get by with charging. And that everybody's competing with each other, right? So we have to make sure we're competitive.
How do you pick the dogs? Because there must be loads of dogs and you can only take some, right?
Actually, we agree to post just about every dog we're asked to, which is why we have a lot of dogs on our website. The reason we do that is because we could never bring every dog over into foster homes. We have very few foster homes. Our greatest need is for foster homes. It's hard to foster because people get attached to a dog and then they have to let it go. I've personally fostered about 60 dogs and every dog was painful. But when you foster and you let a dog go, then you know you can save another one. So you take on the pain of losing that dog you love so that other dogs don't feel pain by not getting homes and living on the streets for the rest of their lives.
Well, but the whole time you're fostering, because I've done fostering, you know in your mind and your heart that this isn't forever.
Yes.
So you're almost training and preparing the dog for where you think it's going to go. You don't have kids, or I didn't have kids at the time.
I don't either.
But yeah. I'm taking it around kids. You know what I mean? Like you're thinking about where it's going to end up. I'm not in a busy street, but I'm taking it to one anyway. Maybe it'll live near a busy street, you know?
Oh, that's very good. So, very good.
Yeah. Foster homes are training precious. Grounds, right? And it is good because the foster home gets to try all kinds of different dogs. You know, when they are ready to make up their mind and own a dog of their own, they've got so much experience.
Yep.
And they do get support, right? You support them, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, foster homes don't pay a cent. We pay everything for the dog when it arrives, of course, because it's not their dog. They don't have to pay anything. And the more foster homes we have, the more dogs we can rescue. But because we have so few foster homes, we found that the best model to save as many dogs as possible was to have a dog go directly into an adoptive home. And that way, we're
sense.
Not right.
Yeah.
So, and you'd be surprised, even though these people don't get to meet their dog before they adopt them, it works out 98% of the time that those dogs are not returned. It is staggeringly how well it works out. But we're very careful about the adoptive homes we pick because we want to make sure people aren't going to give dogs the time they need to settle and relax. Because when a dog is flown halfway around the world and placed into a home with a complete stranger, they're going to be nervous. And that nervousness can reflect itself in growling or even nipping, very rarely biting, and very rarely either of those. It's amazing how adaptable dogs are. But sometimes they take a while to settle in, and our adopters allow them the time to do that. We say it takes about 3 weeks for a dog to finally figure out, hey, I'm safe. No one's going to hurt me anymore. I can let go. I can let go of my barriers and relax and become one with this family. And it generally takes about 3 weeks for the dogs to realize that.
Okay, so we have run out of time, but I want to invite you back and do a follow-up show.
Sure, I'd love to.
Because we have to tell people in the follow-up show what kind of people you're looking for. How do you make that determination?
Yes.
And then
yes.
How do you make the match? And how does it work? Do they come to the airport? Like, I want to hear all about this.
Yes.
And I want to hear some special stories of matches you've made. But first, to end this show, can you please tell people where that website is, where all these dogs are posted, and how they can learn more?
You bet. Everything you can do to foster or adopt our dogs is on our website, which is loved, L-O-V-E-D, lovedatlastdogrescue.ca. All one word, no caps, lovedatlastdogrescue.ca.
And we'll post the links right up on the show profile on the Animal Party Pet Life Radio show page. So you could just click if you want to just go there and see the dogs. And I mean, I love this idea. It's almost like a dating site.
Yes, it really is. It truly is. Yeah. Yeah. We've got lots of dogs. Lots of dogs.
Well, I wouldn't want to have to pick by picture a man and then be with him in my bed in my house and feed him and clean up after him for 12 to 15 years. Oh my God, no.
Oh, but the rewards, they're so worth. I know you wouldn't want to do it with a man. I totally understand what you're saying.
No. Yeah. But a dog, maybe. Okay, everybody. So we're going to have Jan back real quick. You won't have to wait long. Stay tuned for that show. And until then,
thank you.
Dear animal. Well, thank you. From Animal Party, Pet Life Radio, and me, Deb Wolf. Be good, dear animal.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.